Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. We're just coming to you live here from the studio. Have Pastor David Hope with me. Say hello, Pastor.
Hello, everyone.
And we are here talking about a lot of different things. But first of all, just a few minutes, Pastor, we can just talk about the great improvement that the church is having in the last 20 years. What's been going on? Nothing. As far as remodeling and stuff. I know the Spirit's been moving, but tell us about what's been going on. I know you've been here for at least 20 plus. Am I right?
26 years.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so it just looks so much better, and everything just looks nice. And what we wanted to do was just have where it's just has a spirit of excellence. And so, you know, it represents the Lord. And, you know, the Lord's not poor. We Amen. Serve a God. He's an abundant God. And so we were just sort of like, well, we haven't believed God for this. So we set our faith for it. And supernaturally, it was provided. And we're really blessed.
Amen. Amen. So what kind of things have been happening as far as everything inside? I think I can testify has been painted, and everything's been painted almost, and everything. We got a kitchen now, and
yeah, we didn't have a kitchen in this building. We have the building that we gave for the school totally, so we were without a kitchen. So now we have a kitchen. We got the wood laminate floors on the entry to really that really look nice, and you know, we just wanted it to appear excellence and have excellence shown, because God is a God of excellence.
Amen and amen. I know that we're also growing, and as far as different departments are beginning to get leaders in there, and that's always a big thing. And you know, God's about to do something when you start seeing leaders come up. And we have was it Yan-O Ministries?
Yan-Yo
Ministries, which is are the O'Neill brothers, and it's easier just to call them the O'Neill brothers and say yeah. But they're taking care of our children's church and in the mornings and our youth on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And then also I'm helping out with the kids church or the children on Wednesday nights, helping out
Amen.
Pastor. And we're just trying to see what God's going to be doing, because he's preparing people's hearts. And I think all the board and everyone else is just really excited about what's going on. And we're starting to see movement. And I know I shared this on the air before. Anytime activities are happening, people notice. People notice your church. Amen?
Amen. And we wanted to set things up in a way that if we are a great, big, huge church, that's what we'd have to do. And sort of was like as an act of faith. Well, we're not as big as we'd like to be, reaching as many people as we'd like to. So let's get prepared to handle it so that we act like we believe it's going to come to pass.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're still praying in a strong praise and worship team.
Amen.
And we have enough stage and stuff. And, you know, it's not like we don't have the equipment for it. We just need the bodies behind it.
That's right. And if I could, I'd like to give a little quick testimony about
yes, sir.
What I talked about on, you know, begin to act like you believe God is going to give you what you're believing for. We had a lady in the congregation, and I'm not sure how old she was, maybe late 30s or so, and she was believing God for a husband. And, you know, there wasn't anything happening, and so she sought the face of God, and God spoke to her in her spirit and said, and the Lord said, you're not believing me for a husband. You're not doing anything. So she meditated on that and decided, well, if I'm expecting God to send me a husband, then I got to do something. So she went into her house and said, well, if a husband came in here, he had no place to hang his clothes, because all her closets were full. So she cleaned out a closet and said, now here's where he'll put his clothes and so forth. And began to prepare for a husband, and boy, it wasn't very long. We had someone new come into church, and a few months later, they were engaged, and as far as I know, they're still married. It's probably been at least 15 years.
Amen. Amen. So you got to start doing things, start moving things around to see things happen for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So tell us what you got for us today, Pastor.
We're going to talk about, as time permits, routing the enemy. In other words, it's not going to be any close battle where we have to examine to see if there's any hanging chads and anything like that. No, we're going to totally dominate the enemy for a complete victory, even when it looks like we're up against impossible odds.
Like the old Super Bowls, I suppose. when they used to get creamed. One team would get creamed, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, so first we'll look at David at Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 20 is the reference. But maybe for the sake of time, I can just sort of paraphrase what happened. David and his men were out, and they returned to Ziklag, where they had their family and their possessions. And when they returned, they found out that the enemy had been there. The Amalekites invaded the south in Ziklag, and they burned it with fire, the Bible says. So they burned everything. They took what their family, the wives and children, anything that was of value they took, and everything else they burned to the ground. So when David and his men returned, everything they had was gone, from the most important to the least important. Most important, their family, gone, and then all their possessions, they lost everything. And so not only did David have to deal with the fact that he personally lost everything, but the men were blaming him for their losses as well. In fact, the Bible says they even began to talk about stoning David because they were so disappointed with what had happened. And so the burden upon David was tremendous. Lost everything he had to deal with the men. After all, he was in charge, and he was up against an impossible situation. What do you do? And the Bible says that they all began to cry and to weep until they had no more power to weep or no more strength. And it was a desperate situation, an impossible situation, a situation where only God can turn it around. And I know each of us have been in situations like that when we're very disappointed. I don't know if anybody's had a harder time as David did, where he lost everything and everyone was blaming him for their loss as well. But when we're in an impossible situation and we don't even know what to do, God always knows what to do. And he said, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so what did David do? Well, he ended up with victory, so it would make sense if we ought to learn from what he did. Because the Bible says, God says in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Acts chapter 10, it tells us that God is no respecter of persons. So if we have the same kind of attitude and actions that David exhibited, we'll get the same results, because God is not a respecter of persons and the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what did David do? Well, the first thing he did, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Amen. That's important.
That's verse 6. Yes, because he had no one else to encourage him. In fact, everyone else wanted to stone him. So that's a long way from encouragement.
Amen. Amen. You're going to have times where no one else is going to agree with what you're doing, or people are just going to like to finger point, saying you're going through that because you did this. But you know what? It's when you know that God is with you and that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that when loss comes, things happen, people get hurt, things are lost, that you know that you have to say, God, you are more than this situation.
Amen. Because not everything that goes wrong in our life is based on the fact that we did something wrong.
Yes, I know.
You know, there's two ways to have tribulation. doing something wrong and doing something right. So that's why Jesus said, think it not strange, the fiery trial which is to try you. Or in this world you shall have tribulation.
Where would they find that in the Bible, think it not strange?
I think it's in 1 Peter 3:7 comes to my mind, but, you know.
Okay, somewhere around there.
That's a guess.
Because, you know what, I get that question a lot, and that is with people saying that, oh, what did you do? Or, oh, I'm trying to do this, so I like they're getting jinxed or something, that they do something a certain way, that God's going to be mad at them, or that they're being punished for something that they may have probably done later in life or earlier in life, and now they're getting punished for it.
Yeah. It's not in there, but it's in one of the 1 or 2 Peter.
Okay.
But anyway... think it not strange, the fiery trial which is to try you, but rejoice. So how can you rejoice when you're in a fiery trial? Well, if you know the fact that just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the perfect picture of someone in a fire,
yeah,
they were actually thrown into a fire,
yep,
which is a natural picture of us going through a fire in the spirit realm. They were promoted as soon as they came out. The Bible says when they came out, the next thing it says, and the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Amen. Amen.
So if we find ourselves in a fire, if we'll keep our eyes on what we're going to, a promotion from God, rather than what we're going through, the fire, we'll come out, we'll not be burned, we won't even have the smell of smoke on us, and we'll get ready to receive our promotion from God because we showed him that we can be trusted.
Absolutely.
So, how did David encourage himself in the Lord? Well, I imagine that he began to think about all the times in his life that God came through for him when he trusted God.
Yes, that is favor. Amen.
And he remembered, well, hey, I was by myself, and I had no one. I trusted God, and he helped me defeat the lion and the bear and then Goliath and all the other victories, and he began to be encouraged, even though there was no other person around to encourage him. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible says, he asked, he said, bring me the ephod. And that represents a priestly garment. And so David began to praise the Lord and worship the Lord. And that's when the devil began to sweat. Even though he just ripped him off, he knew he was in trouble. When David encouraged himself in the Lord, thought about the things of God, the word of God, the promises of God, and then began to praise and worship the Lord and put on the ephod of the priest to honor the Lord, things started turning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's what we want to do. You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Now, not for everything give thanks. Not everything that happens is going to be God's will. It's going to be good. There is an enemy in this world. But in that, we can give thanks that God has provided us authority and dominion in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and given us the authority to totally rout the enemy no matter what he's done. And not only that, to recover all, but to walk away with spoil, because that is normal for a child of God.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes we're just thinking about getting through the trial. We're not thinking about what we're going to get at the end of this trial. Amen.
Amen. And so, okay, there you go. There's the thing. You encourage yourself in the Lord. Then you praise the Lord. And then in verse 8, the Bible says, David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him. And he said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and no respecter of person, his answer to us, it is right here. We can, when we're ripped off, we ought to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and read that God said, you go after it, because if you pursue, you're going to recover all. Now, if David just kicked back and said, oh, and just kept on crying, he wouldn't have recovered all.
Amen.
The recovery would have been available to him through the power of God, but he had to pursue. And so what we do now in the spirit realm, because these things in the Old Testament are natural pictures to show us the spiritual principles. We pursue by calling the things that be not as though they were, believing God's word to us is true, that we shall without fail recover all, and begin to speak and say, I have recovered all, it's mine. Devil, you give it up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And so then in verse 10, it tells us the fourth thing David did. He pursued and he rode with 400 men, but 200 men had to stay behind because they were so tired they couldn't go over the brook, Besor. Well, so, but David got into agreement with those who could agree with him. Not everybody is going to be in agreement with you. Those 200 stayed behind. And so it's not so as important how many are in agreement. What is more important is how much you are in agreement. Everybody needs people that they're close to who are faith people. That when you're not thinking right, when you're having a pity party, that you can be around these people and faith words come out of their mouth. It's just hard to have a pity party when you're around people who are faith people and believe God. Start speaking scripture. Start encouraging you. Say, let's pray together. I'm going to agree with
Amen.
You.
Amen.
So then the fifth thing that David did is he identified the enemy. And this is one of the most important things that we can do. The Bible says they caught up with one of the Amalekites who had fallen sick, so they left him behind. And they questioned him, and they found out, yes, it was the Amalekites who burned Ziklag and found out where they were going with all the children and wives and possessions. And so it's really important that we understand what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. That we don't come against people. We're used of the enemy. And if we come against the people that brought the hurt to us, it's just going to give the enemy another open door. And we're not going to recover all. In fact, it's probably going to get worse. So it's real important to identify the enemy, and your enemy is Satan, the devil. He is the one that stole from you, and he is the one that you command to pay back with spoil. If we go against people, then we're not going to receive, and we've just opened the door for the enemy even more. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Praise the Lord. So that's so important. That will bring you the victory. Hallelujah. And then the sixth thing that David did, the Bible says in verse 17 that, you know, they found out where they were, and it said, "And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not of man of them." So they were tired. Remember, they wept until they had no more power to weep, and then they had to ride. And then they had to fight all night long. But they didn't quit until they had the victory. So that's what we do. We call forth the victory. We command the enemy to pay back with spoil. And we don't stop until we see the manifestation of the victory. And the very last thing in verse 20. Well, let's read 19 and 20. Or let's read 18. "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them." David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." Praise the Lord. Amen. He got it all back, plus some from the enemy. Hallelujah. So I recommend that you underline, "This is David's spoil." And, of course, we don't have to do this because our name is David. But, you know, if your name is Joe, you should scratch through David and put Joe. "This is Joe's spoil," or "John's spoil," or "Kathy's spoil," or "Linda's spoil," whatever, because spoil is normal for children of God when the enemy messes with you. Make him pay. We have the authority, and because of the blood of Jesus, we have dominion and authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I think that's where we lose it a lot of times, is we take for granted what power we really do have. And it's the power that God's given us, and that is through the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And we got to be able to look at life and say, "Hey, we can get through this, but when we get through it, we're coming back with more than what we lost." Amen.
Amen. Sometimes it's the what you lost plus more of it, and sometimes it's something different but better. But God knows. If we'll believe, we'll get the spoil. Praise the Lord. So let me give a little plug for my book, The Goodness of God. You can read about that.
Go ahead.
In The Goodness of God, How to Recover What the Devil Has Stolen, and explaining all about spoil. Praise the Lord. You know, because spoil is supposed to be normal. We just need to know that it's normal for us. Think of the children of Israel when they left Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians. The Bible said they walked out with precious jewels of gold and jewels of silver. And they walked out with all the wealth. Hmm. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. You know, like David, he was in a seemingly impossible situation. This is even more impossible. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, impossible. Sometimes we're up against odds, against people that are in control, that have all the chips on their at the table, and have all the resources and all the power, and you're up against maybe it's a corporation or people that are in charge, and you're like, "Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do." Well, God knows what to do.
Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I want to encourage all young athletes today to be a good example. Joe Gibbs told me once that athletes are role models whether they want to be or not. In recent years, professional sports have been infected from the use of illegal drugs to murder. It is for that reason I wrote a book called A Second Look at Sports, A Side of Champions You Never See. It features testimonies of professional athletes like John Smoltz, Nancy Lopez, Sam Hornish, to Tony Dungy, who helped define what it is to be a good role model. This book teaches your son, grandson, neighbor kid how to conduct himself on and off the field. You can get the book for just $10 by writing me, Dwight Allen, Box 7, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Thanks, everybody.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
Horse jockey great Pat Day reflects on a filly by the name of Zenyatta, ridden by his friend Mike Smith, who got the attention of the horse racing world.
He rode a flawless race, and when she came off the corner and got to the outside and started catching up the leaders, the whole grandstand erupted. It was just absolutely electrifying. And when she crossed the finish line, grown men were weeping, just to tell you how emotional it was. And I dare say there was a fair number of people in the crowd that day that didn't bet on her, but they couldn't have been happier tearing up their losing tickets. I mean, they were. It was just an exciting time.
Both Mind That Bird and Zenyatta remind me all things are possible when you have the faith to believe. For more sports stories, go to asecondlookatsports.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection. Hi, this is the General Manager, David Yanez, and you're listening to Rev Media Network. I want to appreciate you for doing that. You may have listened to my show, Midwatch with the Rev, at 2 o'clock Monday through Friday, and you may have noticed that I've been talking to you about a lot of things happening and stuff, but a lot of people don't get to that 2 o'clock hour, and they may have not heard the rerun of the show. So I want to get everybody encouraged about our monthly activity report here at the station. And we've had over about 15,000 people come through the station. That's both with television and radio over this last month, and I want to tell you of January, that's like a carryover from December. December we had a huge amount, almost 17,000-18,000 people coming through, and it was a blessing. So we, Rev Media Network, is becoming a blessing to those that go on the internet, that look for that little piece of God that they need, the little piece of faith to keep them going. And we are encouraged every time that we look at the statistics and every time that we are listening, that we can see thousands of hours going out. I'm literally out throughout the entire month, and we're a blessing in there. But I want to also let you know about our trip in India that we're taking out on February 25th. I want to encourage you to give to help that. We are going to be heading out to the Orissa state of India, and we're going to be doing a great work out there. We'll be doing a two-night crusade, two-day pastors conference, and we'll be speaking as a keynote speaker at the Bible College graduation. So we're going to see some great things happening. We're going to see souls touched and people's lives changed through this ministry. But not only that, we're going to be headed to Peru, and we're going to be setting up a radio channel there too. Just like we're going to set one up in India, we're going to set one up in Peru. And it will be a blessing, my friends. It will touch people's lives. It'll change people's lives. Their signals will stream right through our websites here at Rev Media Network, and it's going to be a blessing. Thing and a blessed venture out there. We're going to be going back and forth from time to time, year after year after year, and it's going to be a great thing. And I also want to encourage you that we got some artists coming to the station and bringing their music, and we're going to have a music channel. They're probably going to even host their own show eventually. We're going to have a music channel with different artists, independent artists without labels, without contracts, that are just waiting to be discovered, but also just wanting to be a blessing. So I want to encourage you to continue listening to RevMediaNetwork.com. God bless you, and well, hopefully February is just as blessed as January has been. It's been a great start to a new year in 2010, but we can't wait to see what the next month has for us. God bless you. Stay tuned to our station for more updates. God bless you again. Thank you for listening.
A 60-second look at sports with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked the animated chaplain, Ken Johnson, of the Indianapolis Colts, if he prays to God that his Colts will win the next game.
When you give God the glory for the success that you have, he will give you success to give him glory. I just believe that. If you are a surgeon, if you are a mechanic, if you are a teacher, whatever you endeavor to do with your life, pray that God will give you wisdom and favor to do that thing to the glorification of him. And watch when he gives you favor. If you go into battle, you ain't praying for the other guy to be successful. You want to win. God deserves. People tell me, Pastor Ken, there are Christians on the other team. I said, I know there's Christians on the other team. God can decide who he thinks is worthy. That's not my job. I'm just praying to my Savior for favor.
I believe that God honors those favorably who simply ask him for it. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the air.
Welcome back. Welcome back. God bless you. We've been talking about routing the devil and sending them away and winning with victory and bringing back the spoil. We have Pastor David Hope of Metro Church, which is doing a complete remodel of the church on the outside. And you know what? God's just blessing. I can just see things happening, and it's a good thing. And I think really we're starting to receive into the church physically on the repairs and stuff, and spiritually what this church has been going through and pushing forward through, and all the attacks. Because if you're serving God, you're going to not help but get attacked for doing good things. And we're seeing the spoil coming back slowly by slowly. We're seeing it. We're pursuing it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor. What do we got? We're talking about the Israelites next, correct?
Yes, and just to summarize and set the scene, you know, when they left Egypt, we talked about how they spoiled the Egyptians and left with all the precious jewels and really all the wealth. And then Pharaoh and his soldiers followed them as Pharaoh changed his mind again. And here Moses and the people had the Red Sea on one side, Pharaoh's soldiers coming on the other side, and it looked impossible. It's like David at Ziklag thought his situation was impossible. It was as low as he could go. Here Moses, God had put him in charge, And now here comes Pharaoh's soldiers. But when you're in an impossible situation, you turn to the Lord. He can bring you victory if it's an easy victory or the hardest victory that there is, because there's nothing too hard for God. And Moses said in Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. For the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Praise the Lord. Sometimes we don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do. That's when we put our eyes on Jesus and cry out to him, and his response will be, "Stand still. I'm going to take care of this one all by myself. Yes, I know there's nothing you can do, but I'm well able. And you don't be afraid. And if you won't be afraid and you trust me, you just have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know, there's some things, David, that only God can do. And sometimes we try to be Holy Ghost Junior and try to manipulate people to get them to do, because, you know, we love them and we want to see them do right. But sometimes we just have to stand still, trust God, and see the salvation of the Lord, and let God do what only God can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. And so let's skip down to verse 26. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Praise God. Amen. That preaches itself, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what's waiting for us if we'll trust God and let him do what only God can do. It may be impossible, but if we'll believe God, he'll not only bring you total victory, routing the enemy, but make it so that particular thing that has tormented you, that you thought was impossible, that you just had to live with, no, you trust God. And not only God will give you the victory, but he'll make it that you'll see that Egyptian no more. Praise the Lord. Because God knows how to make a difference between Israel and Egypt.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And they walked into the across the sea with all the precious jewels. Praise God. Spoil for God's people.
And that is just a definition for everyone out there, an example to say when it's impossible and you cannot imagine a way out, God can do it every time. He's done it before. And what is that song that they used to sing? He's done it before. He'll do it again.
Amen.
And then that's
He can make a door if there is no door. He can make a door.
Absolutely. And he made a door for them. Not only was the door open, but the ground was even prepared for them to walk.
Amen.
So that gave them motivation to get across.
We serve a God of miracles. And he said, Jesus said, you know the things I did? You shall do even greater. God has given us unlimited potential because he lives in us.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. And so sometimes, for a potential to come forth, a demand has to be made on that potential.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'll just do what we see other people do and believe, well, that's all we can do. But God has put something special in each one of us to do what no one else can do. No one's made like you. No one's has your personality and things that are very unique, and God has gifted you to do something that no one else can do and solve a problem that no one else can solve. And so by the Spirit of God, I'm speaking to people, and the Lord is placing a demand right now on that potential that lives inside of you by the Spirit of God. Believe God to do something better than what you've ever believed before, because you're only limited by your own mind. Don't believe what the enemy says. You're well able to do it. Just like Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able. Why? Because God has said so.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This will be the last of our examples that showing us that God can does all the hard work. We just go along for the ride by faith, and that we are to get spoil from our enemy. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's just start in verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Jedi. And so, again, this was impossible situation that only God could do. Let's skip down to verse 11. Jehoshaphat crying out to God. He did what you and I are supposed to do. We don't just cry and have a pity party and say, oh, woe is me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, he turned to God and said, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I'm speaking to someone right now who is an individual up against a big company, a corporation that has all the brain power, has all the bucks, has all the attorneys, and you only have God. But if you will turn to God and say, I don't have the strength, I don't have the resources, I don't have the ability within myself to come against this great company that has come against me, and I don't even know what to do, but Lord Jesus, my eyes are upon you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'm trusting you by faith to bring me the victory, not only the recover all, but with spoil in Jesus' name. Just receive that by faith, and that could be yours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then verse 14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. And Jehaziel said this, hearken ye, in verse 15, all ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Praise God. That takes a lot of pressure off. The battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
And then by the Spirit of God, he gave them direction. He said, go down there tomorrow, and you shall, verse 17, shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, and again, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The only thing the devil can do is to make us be afraid. But if we'll choose to have faith and trust God and believe that God does the work, we'll stand still and we will see the salvation of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Oh, the devil's getting nervous now.
Absolutely.
And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Praise makes a difference. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You can choose to ignore what I'm saying and not believe it, and nothing's going to change.
Amen.
But if you'll believe what this prophet of God is saying to you about your situation right now, you're going to prosper, and you'll see God bring the victory, routing the enemy, and bringing you spoil as you claim it by faith.
Amen.
Verse 21, and when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And when you begin to sing and to praise, the Lord will set the ambushes against the enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And not one person of Israel had to raise their hand. They stood still and saw the salvation of the Lord. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. This is what God wants for you. This is supposed to be normal for a child of God. When the enemy messes with you, you make him pay. You praise God. You believe for the recovery of all. Let God do the work, and you believe for the spoil. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Verse 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again in Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psaltery and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Not only will it be a supernatural victory, but because that people will see that God did the impossible and fought for you because you believed him, because you believe God is good and you can trust him, not only will it build your faith, but other people around you are going to see that, even from afar off, and glorify the God of Israel. And we may not even have a physical enemy today, but we have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And we will praise God. We'll expect God for the recovery. We'll recover all with spoil. So when trouble comes, put your eyes on Jesus. Put Jesus first. Look at what you're going to, not what you're going through. Rejoice and give thanks for the victory before the victory. And understand the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And receive by faith that the enemy is going to be routed, that you'll have restoration, recover all without fail, and spoil to bring the abundance to God's people. And the power of God will be heard even afar off. Praise the name of the Lord for the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I think that a lot of times we seem to just concentrate on what's happening around us. And if we can get past all our self-doubts, because sometimes we think it's because of what we've done and how we've acted that we've caused things to come in our lives. And we got to realize that the only way to promote us in faith is through fiery trials. I mean, the only time to get us to do something in faith is when something's going on in our life. If we never had any trials, then faith without works
is dead.
Is dead. Is dead.
And it, you know, even if you've messed up and you got yourself in that situation, you still get out by faith.
Absolutely.
Amen. And that will please God. So you say, oh man, I should have done this. It would have pleased God. Well, he'll give you another opportunity.
Yes.
He's very patient.
Very.
And
very.
If we'll turn to him and believe him for the victory, he'll be well pleased. And you don't have to live with a lot of the, you know, let's put it this way. We don't have to accept anything that Jesus has redeemed us from. He Absolutely. Redeemed us from it, so we wouldn't have to have it, praise God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that once we grasp that, that then we don't have to hold on to condemnation. We don't have to hold on to guilt. We've been forgiven, and we keep moving forward. Even if you mess up now, you just keep asking God for forgiveness. And eventually, like I tell all my friends that are coming to the Lord and stuff, you're going to get this thing right. And when it gets sunk in your heart and it grabs something in you, you're going to be okay. Pastor, would you pray for the people out there?
I will. I will. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that even if we're up against a hard situation, something that is impossible, that we don't have the resources to compete and come up against what the enemy is doing, the pressure that he's bringing, the burden that he's putting on. Lord, you said your yoke is easy, your burden is light. We don't even know what to do in certain situations, Lord, but our eyes are upon thee. We don't have the strength. We don't have the might to come against this great company that's come against us, but our eyes are on thee. And so in Jesus' name, by faith, we declare and decree and establish it on the earth by faith that, Lord, the battle is not ours but yours. And so our eyes are upon ye, and we are standing still so that we might see the salvation of the Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We say, Lord, you're a good God. We trust you because no matter what, in every situation, you're always for us and not against us. So we release our faith to recover all that the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name. And by faith, we lay hold of spoil. We'll get more back than what was stolen. We'll either get more back exactly like it, but more, or something better, different but better. And we thank you for it, and we thank you that the victory is ours. The enemy is routed, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us for your glory. Let the potential that of God that you put in us be released into the earth to show the world that you know how to make a difference between Israel and Egypt. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Pastor. There's one thing that you said that really stuck with me there, and I wrote it down, and I'm going to say it again so people can get this in their spirit, and it was believe God to do something better than you can ever think that was Amen. Possible with you. I'm telling you right now, I am standing in that. And ministry-wise, it's beyond what I could have thought on anything, on any level. We're doing books, we're doing radio, we're doing TV, we're introducing ourselves to doing commercials and film now, plus we're doing crusades, and when you go out there and you do crusades and you see the help that we're giving to orphans, God can do anything with anyone if you're open to it and you say, Lord, I know in life, and I can personally testify, I know in life what I've gone through, and I'm pulling in, I'm still pursuing, Pastor, the spoil. I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see. I can't wait for the 3 days of gathering now.
God is able to give us exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ask, think, or expect. So you hadn't seen anything yet.
Praise Hallelujah.
God. Just don't quit, and you're guaranteed victory.
I tell you what, when you hang around Pastor David Hope and Brother Gerald Davis, Dr. Gerald Davis, you just can't help but get excited about faith, and you see men of God that have done great things and have great accomplishments, but not only that, have great faith. You can't be a doubter, and you can't be one that's not going to be moving your feet around these guys. They will keep you to the fire because you're just excited to know them and be a part of their life. But you hear their testimonies, and you know God is being a part of you. But I want to also just reach out to those that have not found a home church, because I really feel that in my spirit. lot of these things, blessings, everything we're talking about, you could do this on your own, the hard way, or you can find a local body of church of believers where you're going to find a lot of people with a lot of faith and a lot of love, and it's going to help change your lives. I'm going to tell you, I can testify, I used to not have a home church. I was always going out and preaching, but I love God with all my heart, and you can do it that way. But a home church adds so much to you. I've been at home. This has been my home church for about 5 years now. I'm now the associate pastor, helping out for the last couple of years. And I tell you, this has been a blessing to me. I think my ministry started to flourish when I became serious about being committed to being at this church and helping out wherever I can. You cannot go further the way God really wants you to go unless you have a home church. I can say that and testify that because I've tried to do things my own way. But when you sit around and sit under someone's authority and you join in a partnership to build something, something can help big time when you sow your heart and everything into another man's vision, another man's work. God just blesses your vision and your work. And Pastor, I know you can go on and on that subject, and we got a few minutes, but I want you to pray for those, and even talk a few minutes if you can, just a few minutes of that, about how important it is to have a home church.
Amen. The Bible once says about flourishing in the courts of God, and the best way to flourish is to set down deep roots.
Absolutely.
And, you know, really, there's people that say, oh, I want to go to this church because I'm looking for a church that's got a good youth ministry or got this or got that. Well, that sounds nice, but really, that's unscriptural. What you want to do is go to wherever God tells you to go. Seek the face of God. He is smarter than we are. He knows the future. He'll place you where you and your family will flourish and receive everything, a place where you can give and you can receive. Praise the Lord. And so he knows. And there's an anointing that you can have when you and God get together one-on-one. You got to have it. But there's also a corporate anointing that you can only get when you come in to the assembly of God, especially when you're a church family. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's blessing in that.
There is, and you may not see it automatically, but as you go and you're faithful, God will start opening things. Just like when you're starting to give your offerings and tithes and you're being diligent in that, it's not going to be an immediate overflow or impact, but you weather the storm and you get through it. You'll get through. Every time I look at my finances, I go, just weather the storm. When you sowed seeds, just weather the storm. You've given tithes, weather the storm. So, my friends, Pastor, I want you to pray for that, if you could, about people joining churches, about them just being humble. Because what it is, it's a humbleness. That's all it is. It's just being humble.
Amen.
And that's really what the whole thing is. It's just saying, you know, you don't know it all, so just go somewhere and be able to receive. If you can't receive, how can you give if you can't receive?
Amen. That's right. To be a good giver, you have to be a good receiver. You know, and if you say, if you can't submit to a flesh and blood man that you can see, how are you going to submit to God who you can't see?
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's pray.
Go ahead.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and I just speak a blessing on the listeners this day in Jesus' name. And Lord, those that are searching for a church home, I say in the name of Jesus that they're led by your Spirit. Their spirit is led by your Spirit. Their heart is like your heart. Their mind is like your mind. Your thoughts flow through them. You lead them and guide them by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, place them. I ask you to place them where you want them to be, where they'll be in the right assignment, in the right place, in Jesus' name, where there'll be a pastor that will love them with the love of Jesus, will oversee them and stand between them and the enemy when they need it. In Jesus' name, I speak that over them. We release our faith, David and I, and count it already as done for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming in today. And
thank you for having me.
Spending time with us. I know we haven't had you as much on the show. We're going to try and do it weekly. Just with all this construction and stuff happening at the church, I've actually been doing a lot of the shows from our satellite office, or satellite studios, I call them. home, let the cat out of the bag. But Pastor even got a little bit of a sick from all the dust and everything. He had an eye infection for almost 2-3 weeks, correct, Pastor?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, your eye looks a lot better now. I know y'all can't see him, but yeah, it looked. Hey, what'd you call yourself, the Elephant Man?
People were looking, and I had to finally say, "I am not an animal."
That was from the Elephant Man. If you don't know, an older movie, it was pretty good, and yeah, so it's awesome. And as y'all can tell, I let Pastor go when he's here. I don't have to carry him through the show. He's been here many times. In fact, he used to co-host the show a lot, and I let him run. And then at the end, I'll just ask questions like I did today. And it's a blessing again to have you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Give him the address for the church.
7811 FM 1960 East, Humble, Texas, 77346 at emetrochurch.com.
Amen. And what time is the service times?
Sunday morning, 10:30, Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock.
Amen. Well, we thank you for listening. Remember, our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Just drop us a letter, or you can email us, David at davidyanezministries.com or David at revministries.com, and you can just send me an email, let us know you're listening, let us know what kind of topics you like to hear, or maybe you got a question. I had a guy have a question today. I ran into him. He asked me, is people really in hell? I had to take him through scriptures that I'm like walking and say, well, that's a weird question to ask. Are you worried about going to heaven and hell? And then he stopped me and said, well, do you believe in everybody's beliefs, or do you believe in just the Christian beliefs? I go, well, as a preacher, I think I'm kind of tied to the Bible. I have to use that as my source on everything. And I can say I respect your beliefs, but if you're not saved and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven, at least not the Christian heaven that we know about. And that's just the main thing. I talked to him. He kind of looked at me. I go, hope I don't sound cold or mean or anything like that. He goes, no. He goes, that's kind of why I expected. And he walked away sad. Amazing. Mm. It's like, you know, their God is knocking on that door for him to ask that question. Amen, Pastor?
Amen. I wanted to give my email address.
Yes, go ahead, Pastor.
It's dhope, D-H-O-P-E, at emetrochurch.com.
Amen. You can email him, ask him. He's the Bible scholar. I tell you all the time that he's my walking concordance. I will call him when he's going into a meeting and ask him, Pastor, where do I find this? And it's like, because I'm on the air and I think of a scripture, and I can't necessarily go drop the, get my concordance out. So it's always good to take him a few minutes from his busy day to say hi to everybody anyway. So, amen. Okay, Pastor, we're going to go ahead and sign off on this one.
All right. God bless.
God bless. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch. Thank you for listening. Oh,